In Goloka Vrindavan, you can have wrestling match and compete with Krishna and win. There's prayojanas there, but we're not, we're talking how to get from point A to point B. Point A is that we're entangled in this material world, and here we are in this Krishna conscious movement by Prabhupada's mercy, and we have some game plan. We have some strategy, approved strategy of how to get out. And that has a lot to do with Krishna's plan of Varna, and particularly we're talking about ashram. Sambandha. So you have in Bhagavad Gita, it's described that sattvam rajas tama iti guna prakriti sambhavam sambhavaha nibadnanti mahabaho dehi dehi na avyayam. So that the living entity, when he comes in contact with matter, with nature, he becomes conditioned by the three modes of material nature. When, as soon as he becomes, then the three modes condition him. We're all experiencing. As we chant Hare Krishna and we advance in Krishna consciousness, every one of us is happily experiencing that at least little by little the tamagun, the rajagun is becoming looser. That's also described in third canto that prakritim cha hato jasam paripashat yudashinam prakritim cha hata ojasam. Because brahmacharis, they like to hear about this ojas. This is a very esoteric topic. In 1976 or so, maybe 77, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami, was he already Swami at that time? I think so, yeah. I think Prabhupada gave him sannyas, initiation, when he was very young. New devotee, Prabhupada gave him sannyas. So he came to Boston, Massachusetts, USA, and I heard him, and he came up to Brahmachari Ashram. He gave one talk, and he talked about ojas, and we were totally fascinated. Ojas is also there in Bhagavad Gita. Dharayami aham ojasa. By my potency, I keep them. Gama visha chabutani. I keep all the planets, everything floating in orbit, the whole universe. How do I do it? Dharayami. They're sustained by aham ojasa, by my potency. So ojasa is that substance that so many drops of this ojas, and so many drops of semen make one drop of ojas. And they say in India you have more. In Western countries we have maybe 1-2 drops. In India you have 7-8 drops, in a better culture. Maybe now less, because India is becoming also westernized. So many drops of blood, one drop semen. So many drops of semen, one drop blood. So that was very fascinating idea. So we can say in Brahmachari, you stop this loss of these valuable substances that give us brain, ability in the brain to be intelligent. The problem is that the Lord, it's not His fault, but He, because we have free will, He gave us two alternatives. It's described in Bhagavad Gita in 269, the difference between night and day. What is night for all being is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So we join Krishna conscious movement, and then we say, okay, so let me be brahmachari. Let me try to become introspective and self-controlled instead of just, as we used to say, flowing with the flow. especially in Kali Yuga, in the modern times. We don't want to be... Prabhupada says in the purport to that, there are two types of intelligent men. One is intelligent for sense gratification and material comfort, and the other is intelligent for self-realization. So which do we want? That same point is also described by Antariksha, probably to Maharaj Nimi, no? A bir bhutani bhutatma, mahabhutai mahabhuja, sasarja chava chanya dhyaha, samatratma prashidaye. He says, O mighty armed king, Antariksha, saying, by activating the material elements, the primeval soul of all creation has sent forth all living beings in higher and lower species, so that these conditioned souls can cultivate either sense gratification or ultimate liberation according to their desires. Sva matratma prasidaya. Matra, it could be matratva prasidaya. So matra is sense gratification, and atma refers to self-realization. So all of you have certainly chosen to cultivate self-realization instead of sense gratification. See, that is there. Because the Vedas, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, the Vedas, we are all sleeping. We always sing, Jeev Jago, Jeeva Jago, Goda Chandra Boli. How does it go? Goda Chandra Boli, Pisachira, Kota Nidra, Yao Maya, Pisachira, Koli. He says, how long will we remain sleeping on the lap of the witch called Maya? Wake up, wake up. Lord Chaitanya, he's just, in one sense, he's repeating what is already there in the Vedas. Asato Masat Gamaha. Says the Vedas are telling us, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, this original Veda, is telling us, do not stay in illusion. Go to the eternal reality. And then the one you all know, Tamasi Ma Jyotir Gamaha. Don't remain in the darkness. Go to the light. And then, very inspiring, is Amrito Ma. It's Mrito Ma Amrita Kamaha. Mrito Ma. Don't keep accepting material bodies. Become immortal. Yes. This is such a nice invitation. So this is the... there's a little more, actually. Then it gets... And how does this... This is all part of the Sambandha. What is the actual context of us practicing brahmachari? It's a big thing, actually. It's a big, it's an awesome, how would it, awesome, is that too fancy word? It's a very, heavy, it's very heavy reality behind all this. It's so dramatic. Human form of life, so responsible. We have to accept reactions to all our activities. We have to, it's so rare to get the human form of life, and it's so important. It can give us so much benefit, or it could simply pass by quickly, and then we could end up thrusting ourselves, really. It's not that's Krishna's fault, but we can thrust ourselves, we can throw ourselves down into the lower species. Such a dramatic situation. So we become entangled, we become attached to Maya due to our original mistake, you might say, misusing our independence. And what is this attachment? Then in the third canto, there are two. It gets more general, and then it gets more specific, this idea of attachment. Prasangam acharam pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva satashu krito moksha-dvaram apavritam. Every learned man, this is 325.20, every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material, no, it's a very general category, attachment to Maya in general, it's temporary illusion, is the greatest entanglement for the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Sa eva sadashu krito mokshadvaram apavritam. So we always come back to this point. We can't kill desire. We can't stop attachment. We say asanga. Asanga shastrena dvidena chitva. That with a weapon of detachment, one must, how does it go? Ashvatam einam suviru damulam. One must cut down this firmly rooted, haribol. One must cut down this firmly, this strongly rooted tree. This compared to the ashvata, the banyan tree of the material cosmic manifestation. With what weapon? With a detachment. But we can't stop being attached to something. We can't stop desiring something. So, it's specifically saying that the greatest entanglement, the greatest problem is that we become attached to the wrong thing. We become attached to maya, illusion, instead of to reality. That's why that Brihadaranyaka Upanishad verse says, don't stay in illusion, go to the eternal reality. So in one sense, if it's not eternal, it's not reality. That's a big statement. If it's not eternal, it's not ultimately real. That's Bhagavad Gita 2:16. You could Nashato Vitate Vavo. Later you can look at that. We won't go so detailed. But then, so we become attached to maya, but then what kind of maya? What is the worst type of entanglement and confusion that we have? Then in the same Kapila Shiksha, in the third canto, Lord Kapila Dev, he explains to his mother, Devahuti, Nata tasya bhaven moho bandas chanya prasangataha yoshit sangat yata pumsho yata tat sangi sangataha. The infatuation, some of you don't know that word. So infatuation means you become suddenly very excited and very attached to something. Like you say, we say fall in love or something like that. There was one song in America called, Oh, It Was Infatuation, you know, as if it's something like that. Some very sudden infatuation. We would say whimsical, but they, very excited, materialistic person that thinks this is wonderful. I've become infatuated. Nothing to do with proper Vedic arrangements or anything, just whimsically become very excited about, say, the opposite sex. Woman or whatever. So it says the infatuation and bondage which accrue, which means which comes to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman. To put it in simpler language, that attachment from a man to a woman is the greatest, most bewildering type of entanglement and attachment. It's not that all the brahmacharis, they talk like that. No, here it is. And many verses like that. But this one very specifically points it out. It's the same thing. The general principle is that by meditating on the objects of the senses, one becomes attached and bewildered and angry and confused and loss of memory, etc., etc. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It even gets a little bit more pointed in Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't have time to recite so much Sanskrit, but the English is 422.30. When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects, the word is akrista. Akrista means becomes attached. Then what happens? Akshiptam. Jayato manaha. Then akshita means that it becomes agitated. The mind becomes very agitated. You become attracted and then instead of thinking about what I really should be doing, whether materially or spiritually, one just starts thinking, this is my shelter, this is my everything, this is my goal to get this object of my senses. Jayatam manaha is meditating on that. Chaitanam harate bude. So harate steals away. Bhagavad Gita also has in second chapter, steals away the man's intelligence. One's real intelligence becomes lost. Stambas toyam iva hradat. Just like the stambas. What is stambas? Stambas is on the side of the river, you have these big, big, tall grasses that grow. And these grasses are sucking up the water in the pond or the river. And the water is going down. So similarly, the water is like our intelligence. And the big grasses are the objects of the senses that we're meditating on. And when one starts to divert his concentration on important things, like for instance, going back to home, back to Godhead, becoming liberated, and instead one starts to think about and think and feel and will and lust after the objects of the senses, then one's intelligence goes down. It's almost completely lost. And as my senior godbrother, Jayadvaita Swami, once said in a class in New York City many years ago, of all these different objects of the senses, there's one object from the man's point of view. There's one object which is particularly amazing. That's called woman. This object called woman. If you walk down the street and you see a Rolls-Royce car, you might become attracted. We don't see so many Rolls-Royce cars. Even in America, we don't see so much. Now even less. Once in a while, I saw one a few weeks ago, and immediately, it's a Rolls-Royce car. It's a very nice. If we see, all right, say in Krishna consciousness, we see some wonderful, wonderful feast of all the wonderful preparations you all know too well, then obviously, you know, we become attracted. You know, that's okay, I suppose. But as Jayadvaita Swami pointed out, there's one particular object which he called walking, talking Maya. Could you imagine a Maya that could walk and can also talk? A walking, talking Maya. Now, of course, that's in relationship to men's psychology. This is the way the material world is set up. Maitunya Agara. What is Maitunya Agara? Who could tell me? Sex, but what? Agara? Maitunya is sex, and agara means the shackles, shackles like chains, chains of lust, shackles of sex life. Yad maitunadi grihamedi sukham hituchtam. People think it's the greatest thing. They don't realize they're bound by their own senses, by their own lust. Tume navriyate vanir. Yatadarsho malina cha. What is it? Yatol bivrito garbas tatani, what is it? Avritam. That the, just like the smoke, dumain avriyate vanir, covers the fire, or the dust covers the mirror, or the embryo is covered by the womb. So, the living entity is covered by different thicknesses of lust, you know, and they relate to different types of conditioning. Avritam jnana etena, etc. You know that verse. Dushparena nalena cha. So this lust, remember, we're actually Satchidananda. We're eternal. This eternal living entity, avritam jnana etena, jnanino. And we're also chit, sat-chit, that means jnani-no, means we're actually, we have knowledge, we have consciousness, we are wise, wise, like wise man, you know, wise, W-I-S-E. So we're wise, that jnani-no-nitya-vaidina. So this lust is vaidina. The lust is the greatest enemy. Kama-rupena-kunteya-dushparena-nalena-cha. It's never satisfied, and it burns like fire. So this is a warning. And then Krishna goes on, he says, where is this third chapter? He says, Bhagavad Gita, where are the sitting places of this lust? The mind, the intelligence, the senses, the sitting places, lust may be hiding there. And then Krishna goes on and talks about avideya, which we'll get to in a moment. Avideya means how to do it, how to overcome this covering, this entanglement, this lusty sensation, how to overcome it. And one last thing, nanvagni pramada nama grita kumbha. Everyone here is male body. So male body, we're like grita kumbha. We may think, oh, I'm very strong, I'm, you know, very superior. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, grita kumbha. What is grita kumbha? A butter pot. Butter pot. A pot of butter. That's all. But of butter pot. And woman, nanvagni, pramada nama. The woman is pramada. Pramada also means it makes the man crazy. So woman is compared to agni. See? Nadvagni, pramadak nama. Grita kumbha samak puman. So here we have, on one side we have the fire, and on the other side, we have the butter pot. That's us. So obviously, in contact with fire, the butter just melts. Sutam api raho jaya. Then we go to avideya. Here it says, sutam api raho jaya. Sutam api means even if it's your daughter. What to speak of brahmachari? I'm not supposed to have daughters, but... So even if it's your daughter, it's a grihastam, that's all right. Sutama pi raho means to stay. Jayad means one should not stay. One should not delay. One should not spend time. Even one's own daughter in raho, in a seclusion or a secluded place. Anyada yavad artakrina. What about all the other women? Only for very important business. This is the idea. And there are so many verses that describes how people become entangled, especially by this combination. Striyo pumsha maituni bhavade tam mito, how does it go? That striyo mito, this combination of man and woman, griha kshetra sutapta vitair janasya moho ham aham mameti. That the combination of man and woman, one time, Prabhupada said, actually woman is very good, and man is very good, but when you put man and woman together, it is very bad. So then you could say, then why is it, even the Shudras, they have one samskara, Javaha Jagya, the marriage ceremony. So why is marriage encouraged? To regulate. And we get to the Abhideya, and then Krishna tells Arjuna, Tasmat, given this situation, then what should you do? Tasmat pam indriyanyado niyamya varadarshava. He'll say it again in the sixth chapter. Yukta hara vahara asya, yukta cheta. He'll say, regulation. Regulate the senses. If you can't completely give up sense gratification, at least regulate it according to Vedic rules. And then you can overcome this insatiable enemy known as lust. So this is the background. This is why we have human form of life. It's very valuable. Some of us, most of us here in this room today, we want to try to avoid this very complicated entanglement of married life, of household life. We've come to a very high place. Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava, yatprapyamanusam lokam, muktidvalam apavritam. The manusam, the human form opens the doors of liberation. But griheshu kadavat shaktas, tam arudachutam viduhu. That one who comes to the human form of life, but devotes himself to family life, just like the foolish bird in the story. Krishna told Uddhava the story about a bird that is so attached, and his family birds become trapped by a hunter, and then he's bewildered, and he just follows them into the net of the hunter, and everything is finished, and it's a tragedy. So we shouldn't follow that example. Then it says, tamaruda chutambidu. It's just like you come to a very high place, the human form of life, and then you fall down very quickly. So, all right, I think I've dramatized this situation enough. And now what do we do? So what is the proper thing to do? Take to brahmachari life is a very, very good move to make. Very nice, very, very appropriate, you might say, to take to brahmachari. Brahmachari means that we can vyavasyatmika buddhi, ekeha kuru nandana, we can focus more. Not that distraction, bhagaishvara prashaktanam taya parita chaitasam, vyavasyatmika buddhi, samadhana vidyate, doesn't take place, that concentration, when we become distracted. So it's a lot easier not to be distracted when you're not obligated to deal with all these complexities. You all know that. That's why you're trying for brahmachari, and eventually maybe sannyas. So, but then we have so many brahmacharis that at a certain point they stop doing that, and they allow themselves to become obliged with all the duties, economic development and social dealings and so many things they have to deal with, and soon children and aho griha kshetra suptapta vitaya, bank account, house, and so many things are there. So how to try to at least try to avoid that. So we talk a little bit about that. First of all, the idea of brahmachari is a very high standard according to Yajnavalkya, one of the great sages, he set some rules for brahmachari. Prabhupada would quote this fairly frequently, that the vow of brahmachari is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words, and mind. In other words, you might say body, words, and mind, or work, activity, words, and mind. And that's not all. Also, at all times, under all circumstances and in all places. This is very sobering. Makes you sober. You know, sober? Like, seen. We're here sitting here in this room. We're talking about these things. It's a little easier. We should do this more often. It's very easy to control the mind because we're focused on the goal. Just like in the Chaturshloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, Itavad eva jigyasyam, tatvam jignasunatmanam. It's describing anvayavyatideka vyam yaksyat sarvata sarvada. That's the last chatushlok in Bhagavatam. That the seriously inquisitive student, the one who's really, Prabhupada would sometimes call his disciples my students. This is educational institution, actually. ISKCON, it's not just religious institution, educational. So the serious student should be searching after the absolute truth. Like, for instance, that word brahmachari, many of you know. Chari means you go. And Brahma is Brahman. So Brahmachari means you're going towards Brahman. You're not, that doesn't mean we're going to become impersonalist and merge with the Brahman. But we're going towards the supreme Brahman. Brahmachari. So this, even in Bhagavatam, this is the same idea that that concentration has to be there. You notice the vow of Brahmachari works very well together with the instruction of Bhagavatam. In all times, in all places, you see? In other words, how can I focus on Brahman if I'm also focusing on nonsense or on sense gratification or Maya? So both verses, the instructions of Yajnavalkya and the instructions of Lord Brahma to of Garbhodakshya Vishnu, no? To Lord Brahma, he's giving Chaturshlok. It's saying the same thing, that we have to be ready to do it. We're not always sitting here together like this. Many of us will soon, unfortunately in one sense, fortunately in another sense for the preaching, going to the West, going to these, we say the Wild West, where it's really very challenging. But still, we have to focus. In India, it's a little bit difficult. In the West, women, they walk around. It's better they were completely naked. It wouldn't be so exciting. But they go half naked. Like Narada Muni, he told Mrigari, don't half kill the animals. Better you kill them completely. You could say, my dear Maya Devi, please, just go completely naked. Don't go half naked. Isn't it? Even worse. You see how the Maya, you know, is arranged, so we become completely bewildered. So in the West, it's like that. In India, still, they don't do so much, but in the West, they're going like that. I even saw, and I won't go into detail, but on Harinam party, Harinam Sankirtan, you might say, oh, this is so auspicious. I didn't know how these young men, these devotees, how they can do. They were chanting Harinam, and there's a whole parade, practically speaking, of half-naked ladies going. Sometimes they have a very hot climate, so what could we do? It's so hot, we have to go half-naked. So this is challenging. So how to deal with that? Abhideya. In Bogota, Colombia, I was driving a car. I wasn't driving, I was a passenger. And we're driving a main street. And I hope this class won't put you more in Maya. It's supposed to put you less in Maya. But these are examples, just to be careful. I know it holds your attention, that's for sure. So we're going in 13th Avenue, 13th Calle 13, okay, Avenida 13 in Bogota, Colombia. And we noticed just ahead the cars are not moving. They're all just there. And no one is banging on the horn. No one is honking the horn. Everyone seemed okay. And we got to that point, and it was nighttime, and they had this big glass display on the store with about four different levels, stories. And I can't tell you what was going on, but they were having, it was some sort of clothing store, and they had these ladies being fashion modeling for clothing. But they were modeling not the outer clothing, but the inside clothing. And these ladies were like, I don't know, they were some heavenly planet ladies. They came down, they were very well equipped to put everyone in Maya. And that's why all the men in the cars, they were very happy. They didn't care where they were going. They forgot where they were going. They were just... And no, it was really amazing. Now, I was with devotees. And I mean, I'm not saying at that time I was maybe a little less sense-controlled than I've become. And I hope in the future become more and more sense-controlled. We're supposed to be Goswami, not Godas. But I was saying, what are you doing, Prabhus? I was yelling and saying, don't look at that. It's poison. It'll take you 10 years to get purified from that. This is such heavy maya. Don't look at that. I mean, I just caught one little glimpse and I stopped looking. I was fortunate. If I didn't stop looking, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have this danda. I'll tell you very frankly. They're not sannyasis. It may take them a long, long time. Just because of this, spending this 5-10 minutes, they were looking, their eyes were coming out of the head. And I'm yelling, and I didn't even exist. They were just like the karmis. They were enjoying to the max, you see. Enjoying so much. But what is that? Ah, no. Vishayendriya samyogad yathada gre mritopanam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smitam. You know that. Happiness and the motive passion. It's based on this nonsense, just contacting the senses with the sense object. Don't tell anybody, but I used to be a hippie. Used to be a hippie. You know back there what hippie is? Hippie? You can translate hippie? Later they'll explain. Prabhupada said we made hippies into happies. This movement started with hippies. And I was one of them. You were a hippie too. Haribol. You were a hippie later model. I was original. I was a original model hippie. Yeah. So what did they used to say? What was the mantra? What was the Mahavakya? What was the, well, whatever you call it. What is the main mantra for the hippies? If it feel, it, what? It's all good. No, worse than that. So if it feels good, do it. Very intelligent, right? Very high philosophy. If it feels good, do it. These were our acharyas. I had a newspaper, hippie newspaper, and I did an interview with Louis Abalafia. He was called the love candidate, and he would campaign completely naked. And his campaign slogan was, "What do I have to hide?" Completely naked in the newspaper, you can see. He's a love candidate. So this was really something. So as devotees, maya will come and attack us like that. Even in India, you'll find nicer maya. Your mother will cry on the telephone and say, "No, no, you must get married. You must get married." Just like in that book, Jiva Dharma. Very high, intelligent personalities. But then maya was coming. "Oh, mother is saying I must get married. And I don't want to. I just want to hear Krishna Katha. I want to hear from Raghunath Das Goswami," I was hearing from. And it's a semi-fictional. So maya is there. And also it comes nowadays, even in India, it comes in pretty gross ways also. So, alright, so what do we do? Key point. We could talk about different techniques, don't eat too much. But the main thing is don't meditate on the objects of the senses. That's the main thing. Believe me, I'll be frank with you. I was brahmachari since 1975, or at least 75. You know, when I first joined, they sent me out traveling Sankirtan. After a few weeks, the Sankirtan leader got the order from the temple president. I was still bhakta. Put bhakta such and such in orange cloth, saffron cloth. And so that was a long time ago. But I wasn't the same kind of brahmachari that I was a few months ago, say. In other words, sometimes we have to be a little bit patient with ourselves. So one thing is don't become too easily discouraged. You may not be able to completely control your senses. A very nice encouragement. Just give me a second, because this is coming from Krishna, I believe. Well, let's see who's speaking. Bhajyamano, this is 11th canto, the Does it say who's speaking? I don't know who's speaking. 14th chapter. Oh, it's Krishna. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. So this is instruction from Krishna. All right, so everyone's happy. We're hearing from Krishna. This is not my own concoction or somebody's interpretation. This is directly from Krishna. He's saying, Bhajya mano pimad bhakta vishaya ajitendriyaha. Praya pagalbaya bhaktya vishaya nabibhuyate. He says, my dear Uddhava, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, in other words, he hasn't become completely Goswami yet. Is anybody here did not become complete Goswami yet? Oh, he's very honest. And I'm supposed to, actually, don't, but I, just between us, I'll say. All right. So, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed. Now, harassed, that's, they don't know that word. So, harassed means disturbed, or attacked, or, you know, bothered by material desires. But because of his unflinching means staunch, strong devotion for me. I don't hear, no more translating? You're trying, okay. Because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. You see how encouraging that is. My devotee may still have some material desires, but if he what to speak of apiched sudaracharo, but we don't want to go that way. So but there's something that we have to do. It's okay. I know in my own life, so many years I was a weaker brahmachari, I became a stronger brahmachari as years went by. For me it took a long time. Believe me, I'm coming from a very, very low place. I can assure you of that. So it took me many, many years. Actually, I was supposed to take sannyas in 1986. And I'm glad that it didn't go through. Then in the 1990s, I was supposed to take sannyas. I'm glad that it didn't go through. Externally, I got involved in business activities, trying to keep a temple going in that same country, Colombia, in South America. Pralatananda Swami, he told me, he said, this, doing business to save the temple, keep the temple going in Colombia, very nice service, but very incorrect for sannyas. Not sannyas, you can't be doing that. But inside, perhaps I was not really ready. 1990s. So then finally, no more business since 2003, completely finished with business, and inside feeling more peaceful, more stronger. So don't feel bad if inside there's still some agitation. But here's the key thing. Of all the things I want to share with you, the one lesson it took me too long to learn, I confess. But because I finally learned this lesson, I should have known this lesson at the beginning, because the lesson is again Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Apuyamanam achala pratistam. How does it go? Apuyama, what is it? Samudram apat pravishanti yadvat. Tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve shashantim apnoti na kama kami. Kam means it'll be there. We still have desires and we're not yet pure, completely pure. So we may still have even material desires. We may sometimes even feel some lusty desire. But remember that story. Maybe you shouldn't remember it. But the one in the street where we saw that display and my friends, they were looking at that story. Okay? So at least for right now, remember that story. Don't be like them. Don't be like those men, those devotees. One was bhakta, one was initiated, but don't be like them. In other words, the living entity, the desires will always enter the mind. There'll always be some desire. But then the thing is, what do you do with it? Do I take it? Ah, this is so nice. Just see, I'm working so hard on Sankirtan. I am working so hard in this department, that department, I'm controlling myself. I'm following the four regulative principles. But Krishna's so kind, he's given me a little bit recess, a little bit of a vacation from that. And I'm not going to break the regulative principles. I'm just going to look and enjoy with my mind. No, 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 sir. Don't go that way. Don't do that. That's what that verse says. That desires will enter the mind just like rivers enter the ocean. But one who could tolerate such desires and does not try to satisfy the desires, then he can attain peace. That's what we want. Dhira, peace. Dhirastatra namuyate. And then in Ishopanishad, the undisturbed authorities, the dhiras. We want to hear from the dhiras. We want to become dhiras and also be able to help others. Right? Undisturbed. We want to be undisturbed at the moment of death. That's quite an assignment. So, not one who's kamakami. See, in other words, when we were going down the street and that wonderful opportunity came to relish this wonderful sight, then that's the time where we have to show our sincerity. One thing I've learned, my dear fellow brahmacharis and aspiring brahmacharis, and say, no, you're not brahmachari, you're sannyas, but it's the same thing. So one thing I learned is just look the other way, that's all. Maybe you already do that, but always be ready to do it. No matter how beautiful and attractive and exciting the thing may look. Obviously we're talking about the opposite sex. We're talking about you see some attractive form of woman. Okay, you feel it, there's some desire. Just immediately, instinctually, Hare Krishna. And look somewhere else. That's all. You turn your head down. If I would have known that little secret, it's not a secret, Krishna himself is teaching in 270 in Bhagavad Gita. If I would have known that little technique in the 1970s, I would have become a lot stronger, a lot more quickly in spiritual life. Eventually I learned, better late than never. Eventually I learned. And it's so nice. So nice. Not to... I mean, there's so much other kind of maya. There's pratistha. There's subtle sex life. Fame, adoration, and distinction. There's so many things we have to be careful with. There's overeating. There are all those things. Atyahara, prajalpas, cha. What is it? Prayasha. All those things in Nectar of Instruction. There's so many kinds of maya. But at least let us not take this poison, which is poison at the beginning. Remember, happiness and the mode of passion. At the beginning, it's just like poison. And at the beginning, it's just like nectar. Amrita, nectar. But at the end, it becomes poison. Sooner or later, it becomes poison. So don't, especially when it's trying to practice spiritual life, don't for some cheap, temporary, you know, release of tension or mental enjoyment of some object of the senses. Don't set yourselves back 5-10 years just for 1 minute of some cheap thrill. No, 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 no. Has everyone agreed to that proposal? Are you all ready to look the other way when Maya comes in different ways? Especially those who are going to the West. How many of you will soon be going to the West? I will. Well, maybe about a few of you, not so many. But those who are staying in India, it also applies. Maybe in a little bit more refined way, but the Maya is still there. Alright, I'll just, it's almost 3 o'clock, I'll just read, I'll go to something really specific on Abhideya, how to be brahmachari. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, not in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, I guess it's Narada Muni, about Varnashram. He talks about the Varnas, the ashrams. And then there's 7:12:6. Shishlo mita bhuktaksha shadadano jatendriyaha yavad artam yavaharet shrisu shri nijiteshu cha. A brahmachari should be quite well behaved. That's shishulo, shushilo. Shila is behavior, and shushilo means very well behaved and gentle, and not eat or collect more than necessary. He must always be active and expert, fully believing in the instructions of the spiritual master and the Shastra, just like today we heard so much from Shastra. Fully controlling his senses, he should associate only as much as necessary with women or with those controlled by women. Strisu stri nijiteshu cha. Also in Kapila Shiksha it says one should not associate with a coarse fool who has no self-realization and is nothing more than Yoshit Krida Mrigeshucha. I'm sorry, I didn't say it. Kapila did. There's dancing dog in the hands of a woman, or like a toy in the hands. In America, in a temple in Miami, the karmis, or the, say the non-devotees, they don't, you cannot have less than two dogs. Two dogs is not so respectable. You must have at least three dogs. First class dogs. And everyone is walking their dogs. And I look at those dogs and I say, oh Prabhupada, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, this life, I was certainly dancing dog and I could have continued dancing dog. Next life, four-legged dancing dog, not just two-legged, four-legged dancing dog. Like, you see these dogs, they're walking and they're just, how the ladies, or they're controlling. So let us not allow ourselves to fall into such disgrace. Okay? Now, I don't mean to be like fanatical, you know, I mean some brahmacharis, certainly, it's inevitable. I'm not cursing you, but it's a fact that some of you will certainly turn to the Grihastha Ashram. I hope not too many of you, but some of you will. But even that, there's still brahmachari in Grihastha life. There was a sannyas by the name of Shivananda in the 19-teens, like 1915, 1918, 1920. He wrote a whole book about brahmachari, and he was describing how in Grihastha life, it's also, Prabhupada said, Grihastha Brahmacharis or Grihastha Sannyasis. Because they're strictly following. They're actually, practically speaking, they're celibate. And you know, in Vedic culture, there was proper, you know, it wasn't like, so much. But even in the best of situations, I still recommend that you become Brahmachari Brahmachari instead of Brahmachari Grihastha. I recommend it because it's much easier, much less complicated. There's some very heavy verses I have here. I won't read them, no more time. Maybe it's Krishna's arrangement. These verses, they never recite because the Grihasthas and Matajis and family people, devotees, they may feel very offended like that. But this is in the Bhagavatam. Read the verse. No, I'm not reading. Besides, we're out of time, so maybe it's Krishna's arrangement. But if it's okay, Dharmatma, can we have a few questions? Is there still, or they have to go? When you go like this, in India, you go like this, I don't know if that means yes or no. If someone has questions, it's okay. Okay, see, in America, they do this, it means no. In India, it does this, it means very nice. Maybe, or something. Hare Krishna. All right. So does anyone have any particular question about brahmachari life or anything I can share with you that you'd like to know? Yes, way back there. Please talk very loud. How did I what? How did I feel? Well, I can't lie to you. because it's in the video. There's video taken. And I was watching the video so I could see how I felt. And basically I looked a little happy at times, and I got the danda. I was with my old friend, Niranjana Swami, my sannyas guru. And, you know, there were some nice moments, but I really didn't know exactly what to do. So I looked a little like a lost child. I was, what do I do? Which way do I walk? I was with in Gurukul of Bhakti Vidya Puna Swami in Mayapur. And everything there is very, very traditional, Vedic standard. You have all these young men, and even young boys, even from 10 years old, 8 years old, they're all chanting strongly, long, long stotras of Vedic mantras, and everything is so auspicious and wonderful. And here I am, the kid from Brooklyn, New York, you know, completely like ignorant of so many details. But Bhakti Vidya Purna Swami was very, very gentle and very kind, and he told me, now you walk this way. And then they, like putting on the new cloth, and I'm, you know, as brahmachari, we do it on the top, and then it goes between the legs and the back. And I was putting it on like brahmachari, and he had to correct me. No, you fold the top, you don't fold the end like this one, because it has to go like that. You don't have that thought anymore. So I just, you know, these little details I had to get used to, but it was actually very blissful, and not just the initiation, but it's only been about maybe now 15, 16 days since I got the initiation. And every day is a wonderful adventure. And there's so much more opportunity to associate with other sannyasis and advanced devotees. And people like, seem like I'll be getting more invitations for preaching. And with all of your blessings, things will go nicely. I'm already 66 years old. So now's the time to become more focused. That's why the sannyasis, and they, you know, they put down the danda first, which is the mind, the body, mind, and words you're offering to Guru and to Krishna. So it's, you might say that's just symbolic, but my experience is, it's really kind of intense. I mean, it's like a discipline. You have to do things better than you did before. You have to be more exemplary. Because you just asked about the initiation, so I won't go on and on. Is that okay? Answered more or less? You wanted a briefer answer, perhaps. How did you feel? I felt great! Yes, Prabhu, here's a question. Oh, used to be Bhakta Philip, now you're Purushottama, what is it? Parameshvara, Prabhu, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to mention names at all. I'm not even going to give any hints. But we have some devotees that have had difficulty, you know, coming from Western background especially. They've had difficulty getting situated in the Grihastha Ashram, and maybe the lady they were with also was not so easy or was not so balanced and couldn't stay steady. So they may have 1, 2, 3, 4, I won't go on, different attempts, and different spouses. Spouse means husband or wife, in this case wives. And yet I could associate with them because they're great devotees also. This may seem contradictory, but sometimes there could be some conditioning that's still there, and maybe some weakness or some instability, and at the same time, the service that some of these cases, you might say, are performing, I shouldn't say cases, some of these devotees are performing, is very inspiring, and they may be more talented, more intelligent, more shastric in many ways than I am, but they're still trying to find some way to function. But remember, that's still to be considered saintly. Now, as far as associating, I guess what I'm trying to say, it depends on the individual. In general, someone who is Griha Vrata, who's someone who's just, the whole goal is just family and house and paraphernalia and all that. We don't have so much to do with those. We associate on the preaching platform. We associate in Artik and Kirtan. But we don't want to have an intimate friend of someone who's infected by excessive attachment. And what to speak of those who are not even stable in their situation. So I would agree that as a general rule we avoid, but still we have to see what kind of devotee is it? What kind of service are they doing? What is their mood? Are they remembering Krishna despite all this instability? And if they are, and they're preaching and they're serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, then with, you know, I mean up to a certain point we could associate. But it's true that as I was preparing for this talk, I noticed that there are several verses in Bhagavatam, not just one, that emphasize that not only should we minimize our association with women, but also with men who are attached to women. And then, you know, it's not so easy, because you say grihasta grihamedi, but there are many, many levels. It's not just that one is either grihasta or grihamedi. There are many, you know, one has to be, one has to be a little careful, I suppose, and distinguished. Is that all right? Okay. Any other question? Yes, Prabhu. Would it be embarrassing if I asked you, do you do some business even though you're a brahmachari?
Yeah, I manage a cafe in the commercial kitchen.
Wow, okay, you're doing some business. Yeah. Right, right, right. Yeah, well what you're saying is true. I mean, oh good, okay, well that's good. I was also doing for ISKCON, but still, the business is business, as they say. So, the devotee is pointing out that when you do business, then you can't keep pushing the Hare Krishna aspect. You're pushing some product or some service, and you relate to people, and the problem is that you kind of get into it also. Your goal is to make money. Make money for Krishna, that's okay, but still, you're involved in a very fruitive mode, you might say. I experienced that, but at the same time, it depends on the situation. I was doing sometimes trade shows and things like that, and at the same time, I didn't have any problem, I would give out cards inviting people to Govinda's restaurant in Tucson, Arizona, which is probably the best restaurant in the world, practically. I mean, it's an amazing restaurant. And I would give people the cards, and they say, oh, you don't have to give me a card. I already go there all the time. It's very, very popular, especially during the big trade show in February. So, you know, you could dovetail, and sometimes, you know, when I got to know some of my customers, I would try to preach to them. And so, you know, you try, but it's a fact, it's not such a suitable activity for brahmacharya. In my own case, two great devotees, one was, or even more than two, but I'll just mention Bhaktivedanta Swami and Radhana Swami. I sought out some counsel, some advice from them, because I was brahmachari and so involved with business. One thing you're managing, it's another thing if it's, quote, your business. Then if you have debts, then it's your responsibility. And they both told me exactly the same thing. They said, at that time my name was Prabhupada Das. She said, Prabhupada Das, You gotta stop this business. You're a brahmachari. It's not your dharma. But you must pay your debts. You see? First I would say, oh great, I'll just run away from it. You know, I'll come to ISKCON, and if they chase after me, I'll take a plane, I'll go somewhere. I'll go to ISKCON, you know, Moscow or something like that. But, no, especially my business partner used to be my bhakta leader, so I couldn't leave him, and, you know, so it was a little delicate. So we have to be responsible, but at the same time, it's good to find an engagement more in the preaching, and, I was really glad in, 2003 when I came to India for the first time in about 24 years. And it was like a break. By going to India and going to the Mayapur festival, and then I came for a short time to Vrindavan in 2003, that was very healthy for me, I felt, because I had somehow disentangled myself. I got the debts down to a much lower level, and still my business partner was not so happy that I was leaving, but I got an honorable discharge, we say. In other words, it wasn't offensive when I left. And I arranged things, so I tried to give what was left of the business, I tried to give that every opportunity. It's better to avoid that activity. Satsvarup Maharaj, he wrote me a letter when he says, if you have the Vaishya tendency, go for it. Nobody wants to listen to a poor man. We need lots of money to preach in Colombia. So he would always encourage, you know, if someone felt inspired, he would say, yeah, go for it, try to do it. But it was Krishna's mercy that it wasn't so successful. I mean, I kept the temple going, but I was cheated too many times, and it wasn't, you know. So anyway, we could talk more about it sometime. Any last question before we go? First time question? No? Okay, again, yes. Well, one thing not to do is just go to India, because in India you'll find many brahmacharis, just like we see here. But, say in the West, it's true that, it's hard for brahmacharis when there's no encouragement. The temple authorities, they don't make a brahmachari ashram. Association is so important. So it's, I think there are some signs of progress to get back on, you know, where we should be with that, but it's still lacking to a tremendous extent. The culture that not only respects but really encourages that we need to have an ashram, because you see, new devotees come to the temple, and there's only one brahmachari or two brahmacharis. Our biggest community in outside of India, in Alachua, biggest community, where there's seven brahmacharis, now there's only two or three brahmacharis. And there's like at least 1,000 devotees in that community. It's always growing more and more. It's wonderful, such a nice, wonderful community, so many second generation, but only a handful or less of brahmacharis. So then when someone comes to, wants to join, wants to become devotee, they don't see that as an alternative, because there's no shelter. There's no place to get that association and training. So, especially those who are going back to the West, let's try to cooperate with one another to encourage and preach. Not that brahmachari is bad, grihastha is bad, nothing like that, but just that it's so wonderful alternative to practicing Krishna consciousness with all that complexity and entanglement. As you said, brahmacharis can do so much more, but it's also that the ashram could do so much more for the brahmachari. It can give us so much more facility for hearing and chanting, etc. I know one brahmachari who he was asked to get married at one point because there was some... Maybe he was a little too sociable or something. And so for a few days, he was associating with who was supposed to become his wife. But he was so much into chanting the shastras and the nectar from Goswamis, etc., etc. If you know who it is, don't say. And he just had the higher taste. He here he was, his mind was meditating on all these wonderful verses he knew and meditating and chanting in his mind. And then next to him was this whole life that he had to get into. And although there was something there, but compared one with the other, he just says, no, I don't want to give up this chanting. But not that you have to give it up, but it would reduce. Because you'd have to start thinking about so many so-called practical matters, etc. So let's try to give others as much encouragement and facility also. To have, even if there's only three or four, but to have some brahmachari ashram, at least in any major temple. Like the temple that I'm thinking of, there's such a big, big community and only two, three, four brahmacharis. I was staying there some years earlier, and at that time they were five or six. But each brahmachari was also separate. They were all in different, there wasn't any like little house or ashram where they can stay together and encourage each other, have a program. Like when I went to San Diego, this one devotee, Javita Prabhu, he said, okay, it's good that you're coming. We're trying to move even more towards having a tight brahmachari ashram. He used that term. Tight means disciplined and regulated and, you know, more disciplined, more regulated, more peaceful, the mind, more of a shelter, less tendency to allow oneself to get involved with lust and greed and anger and all these tricks of Maya. So thank you so much for your kind attention. I hope that you understood what I was trying to communicate. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Nitya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur.